Είστε παρέα με το SBS Ελληνικά.
Φίλιπ Δαλιτάκης, recently you went through a very serious health scare. Would you like to open up about it and tell us exactly what happened?
Yes, certainly. So thanks very much for having me on the program. The health scare, by its very nature, was probably rudimentary, normal for everybody. But the way in which it happened was not. So for those that were unaware, just over a week ago today, I went into hospital to have a routine angiogram. And during the angiogram, my cardiologist discovered that one of my veins was blocked to 95%. And as a result, he then undertook what's called an angioplasty, which is the balloon that clears the vein. And then he put a stent into the vein as well. Now, that's very stock standard. But for me, the concern was that I had zero symptoms leading up to the procedure. And in fact, what had happened was about 3 or 4 months ago, I was having lunch with a friend of mine, or a number of friends of mine, middle-aged men, as we all are now. And one of them had said that in the wake of Shane Warne's death, he had got his heart checked. And he suggested to all of those around the table that we do it too. And so I thought that that was a very good idea. And that's what started, I guess, me going to get the check, which then resulted in the procedure. But to not have any symptoms at all, no shortness of breath, no pain, nothing, was quite alarming afterwards, to think that how many other men and women are walking around right now that have a similar potential for a heart attack with no knowledge.
And the issue is that you're very young. You might call yourself middle-aged man, but you're still 46, 47, not in the age group that you would expect someone to have 95% blockage.
Yeah, well, that's true. I am 46, and age is not something that upsets me. So that's very kind of you to suggest that I'm not middle-aged. But in any event, the health advice is for men that are over the age of 45 that they should get checked, unless, of course, they are of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island background, in which case it's from the age of 35. When I found that out, that too was alarming, because it shows the disparity between obviously our Indigenous population and life expectancy and health issues compared to our own. Nevertheless, what I would suggest is to people that from my experience, please go and get checked. And it's not just obviously a heart attack with my situation, but there are other issues. For example, prostate cancer, which is one of the biggest causes of death in men, or breast screening for women, ovarian cancer, right? There are any number of checks that men and women can undertake at various points of their life, which will assist them and also try and ensure that we catch things early and before it's too late.
There is an issue, of course, with the pandemic and all the complications that many people put their health on hold. So they're trying to avoid some tests in order to skip the coronavirus pandemic out there. But that might have serious complications on their health. So your suggestion is to just go out there and ask from their GPs to do several exams that are very substantial to keep track on our health.
Absolutely, Emma. So there are things that people in our community can do to protect themselves. They can wear masks when they're outside the house, when they're in high volume, high traffic areas, supermarkets, shopping centres, medical centres, doctors' clinics, etc. And they should certainly not use the pandemic as a reason not to get checked. They have far more to risk, far more to lose by not getting checked than they do by wearing a mask, having hand sanitizer with them, and taking precautions. Nothing, of course, as you know, is 100% foolproof. But there are things that we can do to minimize the risk. And just as they want to minimize the risk of catching COVID, they need to minimize the health risks of some diseases that can also cause death in other ways.
Do you feel that now you have a second chance in life after these really serious health scare?
Look, I'm not sure I'd go so far as to say a second chance. It's not as if I had a heart attack and survived and died and got resuscitated, as a very dear friend of mine, John Aaron, did in Parliament. He had a heart attack and was clinically dead before he was resuscitated. What I would say is that I feel extraordinarily fortunate that if Shane Warne had not have died, if he had not have caused my friend to go and get his heart checked, if we'd not had the conversation, then I literally would be walking around right now on borrowed time, for fear that if I was walking somewhere at night or even at home by myself working and had a heart attack and there was no one around to assist me, that it may have been fatal. So again, I feel very fortunate, and I guess that's one reason why I'm so keen to spread the message that people have nothing to fear but everything to gain by getting checked and taking it upon themselves to speak to their local GP, but also with their GP to insist that they want to see a specialist to have a greater level of comfort about their medical conditions, and also to ensure that their health can be looked at in a serious way.
There is a Greek saying, and you have Greek background, "Uden kakou amiges kalou," which means nothing bad happens without causing a good effect.
Yeah.
So Shane Warne's death, in a way, although a very, very tragic event,
yeah,
caused you to get examined and probably saved your life, which where and, the and same comes.
Absolutely. And as you suggested about having a second lease of life, obviously I need to do more. I need to focus what I call less input and more output. And obviously, being of Greek background, I love my food, but I just need to love my food a little bit less, have a little bit smaller portions, be a little bit more careful about what I'm eating. But of course, there are a lot of other risk factors as well. I could eat a vegetarian diet and exercise 20 kilometres a day by walking or running. But if you have genetic or hereditary predisposition to heart attacks and blockages of the veins, etc., then, of course, it doesn't matter what you do. You may need to have medical assistance through medication. And that's why it's so important to go and see a specialist and have them be able to check you to ensure that you're okay.
Going back before the pandemic, 2019, you decided to stop being in active politics. And would you like to tell us a bit more about that? It was just in time before the pandemic you took this decision. What made you take this decision, and whether now on hindsight you thought it was the right one?
It's a really fascinating question that you pose. I left, as I said, or as you indicated, I left in the middle of 2019, so 3 years ago now. I'd done, I call my tour of duty of public service, and I felt that it was the right time. Back then, 3 years earlier, of course, I had three children, 14, 11, and 7 at the time, now 17, 14, and 10. And I felt that what I was giving up to spend time in my role and as a minister and a member of parliament was not what I was getting out of it with my family. And so I made the very difficult decision to walk away from politics, and I loved what I did. There's no doubt about that. But sometimes you have to look at the people that you loved most and the impact it has on them. And I couldn't justify the hours that I was working and the special occasions that I was missing. In addition, I'd probably say that I don't envy the situation that my colleagues then found themselves in, dealing with a pandemic where there was no manual, no rules, no instructions on what you should do or how you should do it. And no doubt, if my colleagues had their time again, there would be different decisions that they would take at different points in time. But everything is easier in hindsight, and we don't have the benefit of that when we're going through the situations in real time. So I wish them all the best. And by the way, I wish all members of Parliament, whether regardless of which political party they represent, because the challenges are real, the stresses are real. And I might say to you that if I was still a member of Parliament, I just wonder whether or not I would have had a heart attack sooner, given the stresses and the pressures that people are under, than what I've experienced outside of politics.
There are state elections coming up this year. Would you ever consider going back to politics?
Oh, it's a question that I get asked all the time. And for fear of you labelling me or the answer I give you as being very political, what I would say to you is you never say never. Of course, you want to contribute in public policy and to look out for the community as best as you can. There are many different ways that people can contribute and do that, not least, of course, be in politics and be elected as a member of Parliament. But at the moment, I find other ways to contribute. I'm on the board of a not-for-profit domestic violence agency. I also do other things in my local community where I can contribute and donate my time. I'm on the board of an international think tank based out of Washington, D.C. So there are different things that you can do to be a part of both the public policy debate, but also to help your local community. And I'm having discussions at the moment about what I can do to assist both the Greek community and also the Jewish community, of which I'm a member of both.
You recently expanded your interest into a Greek named company called Horizontas. Horizon.
Correct. Yes.
What is this about?
So it's always nice to speak with a fellow Hellene that we understand Horizontas and the meaning behind it. So it's a board and CEO advisory firm that was established by three people, including myself, both located in Melbourne, Sydney and Canberra. And it's been created as a board and CEO advisory firm. And we specialise in providing advice to executives and their teams around areas from climate change and ESG or environmental social governance policy to corporate affairs work. So that can be communications, internal, external, crisis management, government and regulatory affairs advice, also public affairs for listed companies, and then cross-border commerce for companies looking from Australia to go overseas and from overseas to come into Australia. So there's lots that we focus on, and it keeps us busy, which is nice. We only launched a number of months back in mid-February, and already we have found a number of footholds within that area that I just spoke of.
And any trips to Greece on the horizon?
I'd love to. So, you know, it's funny. I was talking with my wife about this not so long ago. Because of the pandemic, 2020 was the first year in 24 years that I had not travelled overseas, either professionally or personally, and have not been overseas subsequently. So we're looking at doing a trip. I've got a trip in late September to Korea, where I'm speaking at a security conference. Then I'm looking at a personal trip to the United States, probably around April of next year. But certainly Greece is absolutely on the horizon. We were talking about just yesterday about my time in Glyfada, where my cousins live. I also have family in Volos, which is where my father was born. And I also want to travel where I've not been able to travel before, to Crete, where my great-great-grandfather's family are originally from. And they're from the mountains and a town called Sfakia. And it would be great for me to be able to take my children there. The last time I took my family to Greece was in 2017, and that was when my father was turning 80. And so we went back there with my parents for my father to show us where he was. I obviously had been there and before, but for my children, for them to see where he was born and went to school and where he got up to no good as a young man in Volos. And the Sipora bars were high on our list of places to visit, and will be high on my list of places to visit when I return. Along with, by the way, a wonderful bar in Athens called A is for Athens. Many of the audience will know it. It's a wonderful rooftop bar with amazing scenes of the Acropolis. And Greece is such a, for me, such a magical country, but for me personally, it holds so much for my family ancestry, and it's so important. I wear my heart on my sleeve, as all people of Greek extraction do, and I can't wait to get back.
Philip Dalevakis, thank you very, very much for our conversation and interview. We wish you and your family the best of health and experiences when you have the chance to visit Greece again.
Ευχαριστώ πάρα πολύ. Να είστε καλά.
Κάντε like, μοιραστείτε, σχολιάστε, ακολουθήστε μας στο Facebook, στο SBS Greek.